CliffCentral.com.
Sipho Mbele is an author, a father, a husband, a former radio personality, and a TV actor. He's been on ETV's Scandal. You may recognize him as one of the characters over there. Who was it? You were Donald? What was the guy's
Donald
name?
Masamba.
Donald, that's right.
Yes.
So how are you, man? It's nice to see you. It's good to meet you. And this is your second book. The second book is the one that you've just put out now. What's Your Problem?
Yes, the second book is coming up. Thank you, man, for having me on.
Sure.
Show.
And
this is the first book.
The first book is called Take It From Me.
Yeah, A Man's Perspective.
Now, this is – I'm going to lay all the cards on the table. This is the real reason I wanted to have you in here, because Father's Day, you know, luckily for most of South Africa, only comes once a year.
Yes.
But Father's Day is a very tough time for a lot of people in South Africa, because a lot of people do not have a father figure. They don't have a male role model. Fatherhood is a complicated and sometimes very controversial role for some men to play in society. And you yourself have an interesting story about that, which we'll get to in a moment. But the book is subtitled A Man's Perspective.
Yep.
And sometimes in society today, people are saying men should shut up and we don't need more men's perspectives. So it was brave
That's
of you
true.
To write this.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
What do you think the motivation might be for someone to pick up this book and read it? Because a man's perspective is sometimes the one that they call for the least. I think your book is great, by the way, but it's something that many women might say. It's something many men might even say.
Well, in this instance, many women are saying, you know, the book is good.
Good.
Well, the book is about my love life. Mm-hmm. You know, all these women that I've dated, my cheating games and all the things that I've done to all these women. But again, I'm saying this is what we love and hate about you ladies from a man's perspective. But again, I'm saying to men, actually, guys, we can be better people. We can be better boyfriends. We can be better men. We can be better husbands. We can be better fathers, as long as we change our ways and as long as we change the way of doing things.
But Sipho, it's a very brave thing to do, to put out your your own personal affairs. I mean, you know, it's sometimes the advice is to rather keep that stuff to yourself, you know?
I know, but you know what I did? I actually went out to all these women. And I asked for forgiveness. And well, some forgave me, well, others didn't. But I expected some to ask for forgiveness from me as well, because I was hurt, you know, because I think at some point women think that we don't get hurt. You know, we just move to this woman from this one to this one. But the biggest challenge was when I presented the book to my wife. I'm married now. And I presented the book to my wife. And there was Codesa 5 in the house. I had to explain now who's Martha, who's Maria,
yeah,
and all those things. So it was kind of a brave move from my side.
Very.
Yeah. But again, I'm saying people should learn from my experiences. Men should learn from my experiences. Maybe to never repeat what I've done. Because just to tell you, Gareth, you know, cheating, it's a lot of work. You need to remember all these lies. You need to remember, who did I last WhatsApp? Who was the last woman that I talked to?
Mm. And then you send the wrong WhatsApp.
And you send the wrong message to the wrong person.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, and then I realized with actually, I need to tone down. I need to change.
What made you change, though? Because it can also be a really fun and exciting life. I mean, let's not lie to each other. Yeah, you said it already.
Yes.
There are things about women, they don't even know they have such power over us sometimes.
Exactly.
A lot of women do, and they use that to their advantage, and good for them. But for a lot of women, they're unaware of how primal and stupid we can be as men, and how easily we can be distracted.
Yeah. You know, when we just read from the Bible, we always criticize Delilah and said, yeah, that woman was horrible. That woman was very wise. He uses her thighs and her hands to brush a man, and then she got everything that she wanted, yeah, out of Samson.
Right.
But our women, what they do is they hand over their power. The Bible say you must submit. It doesn't say relinquish your power and give it to this man. Because immediately when you do that, I'm going to use that against you. I'm going to be horrible against you. I'm going to abuse you. Because now you don't have the power. I have the power. And you have given me your power. Remember what happened in the Garden of Eden. It was a woman that actually convinced the man that, you know what, let's eat this, you know, and the man listened.
Yeah, but women have been dealing with that story as a way of vilifying them for years, and it's just not fair either.
But they are not using it correctly. They are giving all the powers to us. God gave women so much power and so much strength.
Yeah, but men, we're also very good at just stealing the power. Sometimes the woman doesn't even know that she's got it before we've stolen it out from under her. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
We use force.
Exactly.
We use violence. We use intimidation.
We use money.
Yeah. Absolutely. And sometimes there's just no, you say women must take their power, but in many situations, I think we've got to acknowledge that there isn't even an opportunity for them to seize their own power.
We are living in a country now whereby we're trying to say we're all equal.
Mm.
Why can't they do that? Why can't they?
Yeah, but that's like when white people say, oh, well, what's wrong with black people? It's only 22 years. Come on, figure yourself out now. You know, that's the same thing. There's no kind of understanding of context. Listen, I always have this conversation with my friends. I say, we talk about consensual sex now.
Yes.
Like it's something that's always existed.
Yeah.
Like you would go home and you'd say to the woman, hey, how about it? And she'd say, I'm not really into it today. And you'd go, okay. That never happened.
No.
Before 1900, and probably even more recently for some people, there was no such thing as consensual sex. Men would get home after a heavy day of battling dragons and rescuing other maidens. And
let's go.
He didn't ask her. He'd just say, I'm here. Let's go.
Yeah. But remember now, this thing.
So we have to learn.
We have rights.
Yeah, but
now people have rights.
We have to learn respect too, because the way we've always thought of women is so different to the way it should be.
But it's the issue of us having rights, women having rights as well. You know, they're equal to us. So they think that now everything that we need to communicate. Everything that we need to ask for it. Everything that we need as men, we need to consult.
Yeah, and sometimes negotiate.
Negotiate.
And they're better at negotiating than we are.
You negotiate, even negotiate for a kiss. You know, but we seem to forget that actually there's nothing as absolute rights. Our rights are limited.
I want to go back to your story for a second. We can get into the other stuff. But what was the pivotal moment that changed you? Because you were having a good time.
Yes.
Had all these girlfriends, you had cheating going on, your WhatsApp messages coming in. This one was lined up for Tuesday, this one for Wednesday. So what made you decide, I need to change my ways? I mean, what was the moment that critically...
My divorce. I was married. Beautiful woman. Actually, I used to stay around down the street. Married to this beautiful woman. And
there's still a lot of hookers down the street.
I didn't say that.
I said it. Don't worry.
And then when we broke up and when we were going through the divorce, and then I realized, actually, it was always about me. But I didn't love me. I didn't find out what exactly I want, because I was busy with this person, satisfying her needs. I would go everywhere. When she said, let's go to Cape Town, I'm here. Let's go to France. She used to like going to Paris, and I'm here. Mm. And then I forgot to live for me. I forgot who Sipho is. Why was I born? What is my purpose in life? What is my purpose on this earth? And then I realized that actually it's not her fault. It's my fault. I didn't love myself too much. I didn't realize what potential I had, because I had to stop my life for her. I had to stop doing radio. I had to, I was now in the acting. I was on Mubango. Then I had to stop all those things. And the focus was on her. And then after the divorce, I realized, no. It has to be about me. And then I had to stop with all these women so that I can give attention to me.
You said something earlier that I thought was very, very important. You said, a lot of women think that men don't get hurt, but we actually sometimes hurt the most. We just don't know how to deal with those feelings.
Yes.
And a man who's cheating and a man who has a whole lot of different women in his life is not a powerful, strong man.
No.
Because he's not in control.
No.
And he's hurting. That's exactly why he needs all these plasters.
And this one woman will bring you to your knees. This one woman, out of all the 10, the 20, to tell you a secret, when we're having fun with my wife, she calls me my thousand, because she said I had this thousand women. She calls me my thousand. And, out of all these thousand women, and I'll go like, sure, what is so special about this one?
Mm.
Why after this one, then I had to go back and take a step back and say, what's wrong with me? And then I did that.
All these women, did you ask their permission?
I changed their names, but there's one that I made a mistake. I use her other name, but I ask her that, I made a mistake. I use your middle name in case that you see that the story is similar. Well, you must know that I was talking about you.
And she angry?
And she's married.
Oh.
The sad part is that the husband read the book and they had a little bit of a confrontation, but it was in the past. I mean, it's many years ago.
Yeah, but you see, this is the problem with honesty, huh?
Yeah,
you decided I'm going to be honest now. I've had enough of this cheating and lying, because it's hard work, as you said. It's really difficult to remember every different story that you've lied, and you know, and then you have to tie them up and you get caught.
Exactly.
You eventually get caught. But then when other people are involved, it's even more complicated.
It gets worse, because now actually
they almost don't want you to be honest.
Exactly.
They're like, can't you shut up and just live your life?
But I think but they had an understanding that, you know, it was in the past. He was not there.
Yeah.
And nothing horrible happened. It was just a little bit of a relationship. But I'm thinking my second book is worse, because I did some stuff while I was married, and now I have to go to my wife and ask for...
Oh, my God. You, what are you doing to yourself? What are you punishing yourself for?
Remember, it's a learning curve. You learn. Every day we learn. Oh, in relationships, God. In marriage, every day we learn. And... you are prone to make mistakes whilst you're learning.
So, Sipho, tell me, first of all, have you always been like a ladies' man? Have you always been able to...
Sure.
Is this always a... Because some guys, it starts early. Like you're
yeah,
at
I started
school,
very early.
You're at school and the girls just like you and you go, ah, this is a thing I've got.
I was Michael Jackson of the day. Mm. I think I was 12.
Yeah.
You know, in the book, the first, second pages, I'm writing about this girl we were caught at school. We were about doing standard 5. It's grade 7.
Yeah.
Grade 7. And I was writing a letter to this girl. And the teacher caught us.
Uh-oh.
Then we had to read the letter class to class. And there was nothing in that letter. It was horrible. The letter was just saying, meet you after school. I'll carry your books. And, you know, those were the things that we used to do. But, yeah, I started very early.
But there must have been other girls who thought, this guy's a romantic. He'll need to carry her books. This is the kind of guy I want in my life.
Even now.
It was marketing.
Yeah, you know, it was a strategy then. And it was not too much like we do now. Now you're supposed to buy them airtime. You're supposed to fix their hair. You're supposed to buy them shoes. Those days, you'd carry books.
Sure.
And you log the street, chat, throw each other with stones, and that's it. And, well, I started early because I had my first child when I was 19, you know, and so it was a little bit of a mess.
Mm.
And then I realized, no, actually, now I have kids. I mean, I'm a grandfather now, and my kids have to see this example. I didn't allow them to read this book until a month ago.
Oh,
the book is a year old.
What was their reaction?
Yeah. The second, the last born, which is doing, she's doing graphic designing at some university in Pretoria. Mm-hmm. She said, now I understand why mom was saying all these things about you. But what I see now is a father that I would love and cherish for the rest of my life. I don't care what happened then, but at least I have an understanding of why you did what you did then.
That must have felt good.
It felt good.
Because she's forgiving you, but she's also saying, you're my dad, and now I understand your story.
As a father, I'm having a challenge with my firstborn child. My wife is trying to make us talk to have a relationship. We do. But she always refers that, you know what, probably maybe you're supposed to be married to my mother. Why did you leave her? Now she's carrying the pain.
Uh-huh.
When I see her, I always have to explain my actions.
Mm.
But I'm trying. You know, as a, I don't know if I can use the word, as a black man, you know, you've got a child here, a child there, a child there. It's so difficult. And it's kind of difficult to show them love at the same time, or the same love, all of them, because they have different views about you. They have different perspectives about you. When they look at you, these other two, they see a father. This one sees a man that left my mother.
Do you think it's harder? I mean, clearly in this country, just by virtue of the fact that most of our population is black, and there are a lot of fatherless families, and the father relationship to a lot of the kids is very strained. I mean, it's historical. You know, there was migrant labor. There are a whole lot of other things that come into it. But this is really another burden for the black man. It's because it seems to affect black people disproportionately more than it does white people. And again, it could have something to do with the political difficulties of
yes.
the past. It could also have to do with traditional values around
yes.
how you know society used to be very patriarchal, even before yeah. the white man came along and made it even more complicated. And maybe the relationship of fathers in families was always secondary.
Because our fathers were not there.
Yeah.
I met my father when I was 26. And actually, I had to go out myself to look for him.
Tell me that story, because yeah. that's part of your book
yeah.
as well.
My mother told me that actually my father died a long time ago.
Hmm.
And I was brought up by my grandmother. So my grandmother didn't want to talk about my father's story. And one day I was sitting with my mother. I think I was 26, and then my aunt from my mother's side was visiting my mother, and I didn't know this lady. And this lady, she said, you look like your dad. I said, my dad, you know my dad? I said, yeah, I was with him a few months ago. I was like, sorry? And then
you
my mother
was
shocked.
You thought he was dead?
Yeah, my mother was shocked that the story is coming out. And then this lady told me that, no, your dad is alive. Here is his number. You can go and see him anytime. The following day, I left Pretoria, I went to Bethal looking for my father. And then when I reached Bethal, my father is known, and then I got there, and then by his house I meet this lady. Actually, the lady is my younger sister.
Hmm.
And they said, no, my dad is at the shop, go and see him at the shop. I went to the shop. When I went into the shop, my father's wife saw me first, and then she went, sure. My dad's name is Sanyana. This is your child. This one, he looks like you. I think my dad nearly had a heart attack.
What did you think? How did you feel when you first saw him?
I was shocked. I saw this man was looking like me.
Hmm.
But I was excited at the same time because I didn't have a father figure in my life. The only person that I could see was my drunk uncle who was always beating us and stuff like that. And my grandmother, who was very strict but loving. Actually, I used to call my grandmother my mother because she's the one who brought me up. And I learned a lot of things from her. And when I saw my father, I was like excited. This guy is looking like me. And he's excited to see me. And he's saying to me, I've been looking for you all these years. And your mother never told me about you. And then I'm telling him my version that, no, Mina, I know that you are dead. You died a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then we celebrated. I was there on Thursday.
So you weren't angry already? You weren't like, you just abandoned us?
Actually, I didn't have that. You know, I didn't have that in mind because I was excited that, you know what, there's this man, there's my father. But when time progressed, I was angry because now he wanted to take me to the initiation school.
Suddenly he wants to be in charge of your life.
Yes. And now I'm a father to someone else. I'm old. And, you know, you go to initiation school when you're about 16, 17.
Yeah, you're going to be the oldest guy there by 10 years.
27-year-old sure. man, I mean, really. You know. But I had to do it secretly. I went there without any people knowing because I was already known then.
Mm.
And then I went to the initiation school. But we started having a relationship.
Okay.
I'll visit my father, I'll talk to him. And I remember in the few years before he passed, he came and stayed with me because he was very sick. And the hospital in Bethal was not good, and then we had to bring him to Pretoria, Steve Biko Hospital. And then that's when he passed on, 2015.
Before he died, did he fill a gap in your life?
Yo, he did. I learned a lot from my father in that short space of time.
Even though it was only a few years and yeah. you only met him at 26?
I learned a lot from my father. My father is this guy in a village, the guy that they will call when they want to do lobola negotiation. He's an expert. They will call him. When they've got family dispute, they will call him. So I learned a lot from him. And from there, I realized actually that he's the best thing that I could ask for. But I learned that actually we are 20 kids from him. I'm number 16.
Wow, he was a busy man.
Yeah, I'm number 16. We are 20 kids.
But I mean, you've made up for that by having at least 20 women since.
Yeah, well, sometimes my mother, when my mother looks at me, she'd go like, Wena, you look like your father. You behave as like your father. But I'm now having about 18 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
Because two passed on. So we usually meet, you know, we talk and, you know, and the funny part is that when I got a role on Scandal, they gave me a surname. Actually, that's my real surname, Mahlangu.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. So did you ask for that or they just...
No, I didn't ask for it. That's when I amazing. Got the role, my surname was there. So when people call me, actually, I don't respond to Mbela, I respond to Mahlangu because actually that's my...
Mbela was your mother's surname.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now my grandmother was angry before she passed on. She said, I must never change the Mbele surname.
What do you think the solution is to this situation in South Africa with fathers? Because in your case, he came into your life eventually and he made a difference. Like it's clear to me hearing your story now, yeah. It meant a lot to you
yeah.
to have him, even if he wasn't perfect. And yeah. you kind of forgave him because life isn't easy.
And he didn't give me any money or anything. It was fun to sit with him to learn
yeah.
from him. When he was talking, I could learn, you know what, this man could have been.
Did you ever have to give him money?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did because when he passed on, the family came to me and said,
sure.
You are supposed to buy the car.
You're going to pay. Yeah,
yeah, you're supposed.
Right.
And I was like,
you're like,
sure.
What are you okay. kidding? This guy was in my life for the last 3-4 years. That's
exactly.
all I had.
And I said, okay. You know, but now the funny part is that now when they do things, they consult me. They call me and said, you know what?
So you're almost like the patriarch.
Exactly. But, you know, to South Africa, I'm saying to all the fathers, let's try and reach out.
Yeah.
Let's not allow our kids to go to Utatago or Kumbuleka to look for us.
Right.
Go out there. You know who you slept with. You know who you made a child with. Let's go out there and look for these children. They are not asking for money. These children, they want, you know, my daughter would call me and said, I just wanted to hear your voice.
Mm.
And I'm okay. If you're around, can you pass by just to say hi? So that my friends could see that, oh, this is your father. Because when I go to functions, others will bring their fathers. I know you're busy. And I know you're not full time in my life. But just pop in and just say hi. That's all that they're asking for. They don't want us to give them money. They don't want us to buy them stuff unless, as a man, you know that that's your responsibility, that you need to buy these things for your kids. You need to help. And maybe at some point you'll find that your ex or the mother of your child is married. Try and have a meeting with the family to say, you know what, I don't want to interfere in your life or in your marriage. I just want a relationship with my child, and that's it.
I feel a lot of the women who take on all this responsibility, who are almost solely responsible very often for raising those children, that sometimes they also, and they deserve to feel any way they feel.
Yeah.
They've chosen to feel that way too, and it's their prerogative. But I sometimes feel like there's a bitterness that doesn't allow them to let that man back into their lives. And even though it's appropriate for them because they've been abandoned.
Yeah.
Sometimes for the child, there's a need.
Exactly. You know, that's what I would say, because my wife has a child with this man. But I would say to her, that's my rule. The boy is 21. Let there be communication between the boy and the father.
Yes.
Not you. It has nothing to do with you. I don't want this guy to be calling you. Because at some point, we're interfering too much in people's life, and we ended up confusing. You know, people get easily confused. We ended up confusing. Maybe this guy wants to come back. Or maybe this guy now, you know, he wants a relationship with me. The relationship should be with the child.
Yeah. But we're useless primates. We can't help it. We fall in love. We fall out of love. We get turned on.
Exactly.
We do stupid things.
Stupid things. And,
right.
Yeah. And there's also the baby daddy drama. There's not only a baby mama drama.
Oh, sure.
It's not always the baby mama drama.
And whether that's evolved as a coping mechanism for women or not, it's a different story.
It's a different story.
But there is this problem.
There is this problem.
And there are women who look at men, and we've got to be honest about this, like we have to be about how men are responsible for all the problems in society. But there are women who look at men as a ATM.
Exactly. And they go like, Your child wants this. Your child.
Meanwhile, it's for them.
Exactly. And that is why I said to my daughter, you know what? I'd rather pay for your school directly.
Yeah. I'm not giving it to your mother.
Yeah, I'm not giving it to your mother. I'd rather give me the invoice and then I'll pay the school.
Right.
And then I said to her, you know what? Since I'm in business, you are a graphic designer and you're still at school, I'll get business for you.
Right.
I'll get you to design stuff for people. And then when they pay you, that's the kind of money that you can use. But I'll also give you a subsidy. I'll give you something if I have. But I have a rule. I'm saying to my kids, don't call me if you need money or if you need help. Rather call my wife. My wife will come to me and said, you know, Mandisa called and then she said she doesn't have shoes.
Mm.
What do you think? What must we do? And then I'd ask and said, you know what? Maybe let's buy the shoes. She'll be the one going out with them to buy the shoes.
So you're giving her a lot of the power. And,
exactly.
Because you've got to prioritize your relationship with
her. I don't want her to come back to me and say, yeah, you're spending too much time with your kids. It means you're seeing their mother.
That's smart.
You see. So I'd rather say, let's build relationships with our kids, but have this communication with the parents or the husband when they are married and say, you know what, I respect you, man. I don't want to come into your life and mess up your marriage because you're married to my ex. But all I want is to just have this relationship with my daughter and that's it.
Is it very difficult leaving the old you behind?
Sure, correct.
I don't judge. I really don't. I think, like I said earlier, there's some stuff that we are programmed by nature to feel and to behave with or against.
It's very difficult.
I'm sure.
No, it is difficult. But I'm content with what I have.
Especially when you do television and radio like you have. These women will throw themselves at you.
I'm content with what I have. And my wife is my support structure. That's what I use to defend myself, actually.
Yeah.
But bottom line is that, you know, I've got so much following on Facebook and I'm always giving advice and to people and I'm trying to live as I preach. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
and how important is religion, spirituality, faith in all of this?
It is important. I believe that we should always ask for wisdom from God and pray about our issues. We can get advices from people, but it doesn't mean that the advices are correct or it doesn't mean that we have to take them.
Mm.
But sometimes we need to ask God for wisdom and guidance. So I usually use my religion, my faith to guide me. And I go to church for spiritual fulfillment and obviously to meet my friends as well. But it is important. For me, I always say to people when they have problems, try and sort them out, but pray at the same time and ask for wisdom. Sometimes the answers are in our face.
Mm.
It's just that we want someone to confirm them. And I believe that God can confirm everything.
Are there any kids that we don't know about? Do you think there might be like your father had? Do you think there might be somewhere in the past? He's going through the women in his head right now. No.
I.
He's thinking, which one haven't I heard from a long time?
Not that I know of. But I do have, and then someone didn't tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no. Not that I know of.
I think you're a very brave man, too.
But someone someday once approached me and said, yo, I've seen this child. He looks like you.
Father's Day is frightening, right? You never know.
Very.
Yeah. Well, Father's Day is the time that we decided would be appropriate to talk to you because you've got the book, the existing book, a national bestseller, Take It From Me, and the new book, which is called What's Your Problem? Which I love. It's beautiful. Sipombele, thank you very much for coming to talk to us, man.
Thank you very much, Gareth, for having me. And I would like to say, Pastor Art Boshoff of the CRC likes to say his slogan is, male by birth, men by choice.
I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's my motto.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Khaled. CliffCentral.com.